And they journeyed from Kadesh, and the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, came unto Mount Hor. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in Mount Hor, by the border of the land of Edom, saying, Aaron shall be gathered unto his people, for he shall not enter into the land which I have given unto the children of Israel, because ye rebelled against my word at the waters of Meribah. Take Aaron and Eleazar his son, and bring them up unto Mount Hor, and strip Aaron of his garments, and put them upon Eleazar his son, and Aaron shall be gathered unto his people, and shall die there. And Moses did as the Lord commanded, and they went up into Mount Hor in the sight of all the congregation. And Moses stripped Aaron of his garments, and put them upon Eleazar his son. And Aaron died there, on the top of the mount. And Moses and Eleazar came down from the mount. And when all the congregation saw that Aaron was dead, they wept for Aaron 30 days, even all the house of Israel. In chapter 26, I'll read this portion, and then other verses, as we go along in the will of God. Chapter 26, and look at verse 59. And the name of Amram's wife was Jochebed, the daughter of Levi, who was born to Levi in Egypt. And she bare unto Amram Aaron and Moses and Miriam, their sister. And unto Aaron was born Nadab and Abihu, Eleazar and Ithamar. And Nadab and Abihu died when they offered strange fire before the Lord. And they that were numbered of them were, and so forth, and so on. But just one other portion. Look at chapter 33, because this gives details that were not given in chapter 20. Numbers 33, verse 38. And Aaron the priest went up into Mount Hor at the commandment of the Lord and died there. In the 40th year, after the children of Israel were come out of the land of Egypt, in the 5th month, on the 1st day of the month, and Aaron was 123 years old when he died in Mount Hor. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, love us so that some are very young in the meeting, and some are older, but whether young or old, as in the case of the children of Amram and Jochebed, they must die, unless thou dost interpose, as in the case of Enoch, and as in the case of Elijah, or in our case, the Son himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. We thankful our Father that thou hast told us that of old some had the hope of escaping death, and thou hast told us that in the new multitudes shall escape death when thy Son comes. But it has been the common lot of man for all these years since thy Son was raised from the dead and went back to heaven for men to die. And we thank you for all the lessons contained in the deaths of these men and women and children of old. I was spoken of it extensively, and we thank you, our Father. Thou dost know that men may blaspheme thee, they may defiantly live a life of sin against thee, but it is appointed unto men once to die, and after that, the judgment. So we thank you, Father, that thou dost tell us about the deaths, not only of those who are your enemies, but those who are your servants and your followers. So teach us from the portions that we have read and perhaps shall read further as we go along. You know our sin. Forgive and cleanse, we pray. We confess them. And prepare hearts and empower lips and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. It's a strange and unique death of Aaron, the brother of Moses, and the brother of Miriam. Strange and unique for this reason. Who can tell me anyone else who died a death under similar circumstances with all that was connected with the death of Aaron? Can you tell me of any other high priest that died in such a fashion? You say no. And for that reason, when you read this passage, the first passage in Numbers chapter 20, you are gripped by its uniqueness. You know that there is something there more than death. Because we read last week that when they came to the wilderness of Zin in Kadesh, it says, Miriam died there and was buried there. That's what happens to most of us. We're going along, and if there has been no sickness, suddenly we die. And since they are not at the place in Egypt where their ancestors were buried, saving for Joseph, whose bones they brought out of Egypt, then they are not in the promised land. And so for that reason, where a person dies, there that person is buried. But in the case of Aaron, it is different. Because there is a spiritual, a typical significance in the manner in which God arranged his death. Now, our death may be arranged. We are not aware of it. Do you know when you're going to die? Do you know where you're going to die? How old you're going to be? Do you know the limit to which you can live and can live no longer? You say, no. Do you know who's going to be with you when you die? You say, no. You know none of these things. But in the case of Aaron, all of these things were known. God made them known. So that is the first part of its uniqueness, the fact that God, as in the fifth month after Moses and Aaron had been sorrowing over the death of their sister Miriam, and I conjectured that perhaps she was 130 years old when she died. She was older than both Moses and Aaron. And how old was Aaron when he died? Does some brother remember? What did it say? Very good. And how old was Moses when he died? 120. But Miriam was older than both of them. And so if there's 3 years difference between Moses and Aaron, then, if you add 3 years, that would make her 126, but she may have been an older little girl than that when she watched Moses in the ark and the bulrushes, so I conjectured that she was about 130 years of age. But God could have prevented her dying, but she was among those who did not strongly protest when the children of Israel had an evil report about the promised land. And for that reason, God says, all of you who are over 20 years of age are not going into the promised land. You had better remember that. When some sin occurs, when there is an inclination toward evil, there are those who speak out against it, and God rewards them. And there are those who either keep silence or else say positively that the evil shall be carried out and the consequences are grave. You remember the 12 spies that went in? And 10 of them said, we can't go into the promised land. It's filled with giants. It's impossible. But Joshua and Caleb stood up and said, we can go in. We can go in and take this promised land that God gave to us. But the children of Israel prevailed. And when they did prevail, God said, without any possibility of change, you said you couldn't go into the promised land, you are not going into the promised land. And so, evidently, Miriam made no protest, The others made no protest, and because of that, she has to die before the children of Israel enter the promised land. Or, as I told you last week, it may be that she simply reached a ripe old age full of days, and it was time for her to die. But she was included among those that had to die, because no one save Joshua and Caleb, 20 years and older, could go into the promised land. So she died. Now, in the case of Aaron, we are specifically told why he was to die. He could have carried on as priest in the promised land. Moses could have carried on as prophet in the promised land. But what kept them out was not the sin when the children of Israel rebelled against God, saying we cannot go into the promised land because they were those who interceded for the children of Israel. But their sin was when the rock was smitten twice rather than spoken to, and then God said to Moses and to Aaron, you rebelled against me, you are not going into the promised land. So God could have sustained Moses and Aaron for many more years, because he had miraculously sustained Moses. What man, 120 years old, do you know, whose strength has not lessened, whose eye is as sharp, whose wit and capacity is as good at the age of 120 as when he was 40 years old? It says Moses was that way. And here was the miraculous empowering of God for this man for 120 years. And he could have added 20 more years, but they were not to go into the promised land. So, the Lord tells Aaron first, there is no record that God said anything to Miriam about the time of her death. But when that 40th year comes, in the first month, Miriam dies. And then in the fifth month, it's time for Aaron to die. And only God knows it. And what is unique about the death of Aaron is that God tells him, you're going to die today. Now think of that. In one sense it would be sad, but in another sense it would be one of the most glorious blessings I could imagine. Suppose God personally spoke to you or your brother and said, you are going to die today. The very fact that God, in whose hand my breath is, would tell me you're going to die today, I would understand that the power of death and the power of life were in his hand, and I would rejoice, because if God has chosen the day, and in his goodness he expanded that day to the 40th year, in his goodness he says, today is the day that you are to die, I would thank God for it. And if God himself spoke and said, you're going to die, then I would know that while being gathered to my people, I would know also that I was going to be gathered to my God. And this was the experience of Aaron and of Moses. For two brothers, both over 120 years of age, to be walking along, and for God to say, Moses, your brother Aaron is going to die today, and this is the way that you are to make arrangements for his death. So unique. Never happened anything like this before. Now think. For 5 months, Moses and Aaron were left after the death of their older sister Miriam. Think of the sadness there. And now, Moses is told, your brother Aaron is going to die. And then Moses is left all alone. The last brother in a family. His sister has died. His brother is going to die, and he is left alone. But what God does in his grace is this. As in the case of Miriam, when she died, Aaron and Moses could uphold one another. They could speak of the past when they were all children together. They could remember Miriam caring for them as little boys, watching over them, looking after them when their mother was unable to look after them. All those things could be remembered. But now that Aaron is going to die, who is going to share this grief with Moses? will thank God that God in his goodness says, take Eliezer, the son of Aaron, with thee. So his nephew, Aaron's son, Moses' nephew, go together to the top of Mount Hor to arrange for the death of Aaron. And it's so good when someone that is near to you dies to have someone that is near also to you to support you in the sorrow associated with that death. Now think, here is Eliezer. And Eliezer has been an understudy of his father for years. Sometime we may look into the charges that were placed upon Eliezer, but we can't now. But he had been doing ever so many things for his father. But now God says, Eliezer is to be priest in the stead of his father. He had worked for his father, helping him in the tabernacle services, and now he is to take the place. He is to minister in the stead of his father. So, God says, I want you three to go to the top of Mount Hor and arrange for the death of Aaron under these conditions. Think now how remarkable it is the way that God tells people where to go, certain ones, when they're to die. When you think of Genesis 22, there is a mount, and God says to Abraham, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and take him to the mount that I shall tell thee of. And so now, Abraham, with his servant and his son whom he loves, Isaac, go, and the servants are left at the foot of the mountain, and Abraham and Isaac go up the mountain. And God says, Abraham, you are to offer as a burnt offering your son Isaac to me. That is something similar. Now, here are Moses and Aaron, and God says, you and your brother and Aaron's son Eliezer, you go to the top of the mountain there, and Aaron shall die. Those two things are similar in this respect. The typical significance of Genesis 22 is like the significance of this, except here it is priesthood, and in Genesis 22, the thought of priesthood doesn't enter in at all. It is the Father giving a beloved son, his only begotten son, as a burnt offering. That is significant in Genesis 22. But here is the death of Aaron, the high priest, and his son Eliezer, taking over the full responsibility now that he had been assisting his father with. Now, his father is to leave the scene, and Eliezer is to become the high priest. You see, in both instances, the one who is typical of Christ, because Isaac is typical of Christ as the Son, the only begotten Son of the Father. Eliezer is typical of Christ as the priest, the son of the priest, which I must tell you about, because it is the way that God is conveying to us in a typical manner things that are taught in the book of Hebrews, and God has to do it this way. What God was doing in Genesis 22 was not only showing the giving of the only begotten son of Abraham, his son Isaac, as a sacrifice, a burnt offering, but he was showing his resurrection as well. How do I know that? Can somebody tell me? How do I know that it's not only the death that is being signified in Genesis 22, but the resurrection as well? Can any brother remember? Because it says in Hebrews chapter 11 that when God spared Abraham's son Isaac, he received him back in a figure. He received him back from the dead. Now, God can only show the resurrection of the dead in one of two ways. He can do it by using two animals, such as two birds, and he does that on occasion. One dies, one is dipped in the blood of the dead bird and let fly alive into the open field. He can show it that way. Or else, as in the case of Isaac, he can show that he's as good as dead when the knife is raised, but God stays his hand and says, no, offer not thy son. He knows that he fears God, and so God spares the son. But he was as good as dead, but he did not die, and Abraham in a figure received him back from the dead. That's the only way God can do it, with one. But if there are two, God must have one to die, and the other one must remain alive. And so for that reason, God is showing not only death, but resurrection. In Genesis 22, and he does that by showing that Isaac is as good as dead because Abraham was going to plunge the knife into the body of his son, but God stayed his hand, and he received him back from the dead in a figure. That's death and resurrection. God giving his son and then raising his son from the dead. But here also is the death and the resurrection of Christ. And God has to do it with two men, as he did it with two birds in the Levitical sacrifices. And how does he do it? He does it here by having Aaron to die and Eleazar, his son, continue living in this world. And he does it this way. He is showing you the perpetuity, the emphasis of the life of Jesus Christ and the priesthood of Christ by, and look at this, in Numbers chapter 20, look at this now. Because this is what is so difficult to be done. In verse 23, the Lord tells Moses and Aaron to go up into the mount, and he tells them, verse 25, take Aaron and Eleazar his son, and bring them up unto Mount Hor, and strip Aaron of his garments, and put them upon Eleazar his son. And Aaron shall be gathered unto his people, and shall die there. This is what is so difficult, that while the man, his brother, is still alive, with all of the garments of the high priesthood upon him, the garments of glory and beauty that are upon him, this living man has all of these garments stripped off of his body while he's still alive, and there he is in his nakedness, and these garments are placed on his son Eleazar. Why? Because God is seeking to show to us that at no time was there a cessation of the existence of the priesthood of the Lord Jesus Christ. God does it in this wise in the case of Melchizedek. He does it this wise in the case of Aaron and Eleazar. Listen to what he says concerning Melchizedek. It says that this Melchizedek was without father, without mother, without beginning of days, without end of life, but he abideth a priest continually. It says he's made like unto the Son of God. And so here is the Lord Jesus Christ, who is alive forevermore. Yes, the Lord Jesus died. The Lord Jesus died, but at the same time, while his body was dead, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. At no time did Jesus Christ cease to exist, but this priesthood must be shown as experiencing death, and at the same time continuing forever in this illustration, in this type. And how does he do it? While Aaron is still alive, the garments that depict that he is the high priest are taken off of Aaron, and they are placed upon Eleazar, his son. And now, even though Aaron dies, there is not a breach when there is no high priest, but in this type, here is the high priest that is alive when the former high priest dies. And so immediately upon the death of Aaron, his son Eleazar is already invested as the high priest, and he's able to carry on in his father's stead. Now, two things are taught, and I want you to see this. Turn to Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7. And look at verse 11. Now, if there were perfection through the Levitical priesthood, That's the priesthood that Aaron was a part of. If there were perfection through the Levitical priesthood, for under it, had the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should arise after the order of Melchizedek and not be reckoned after the order of Aaron? For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. Notice, the priesthood being changed. Now, look over in the same chapter at verse 23. And they indeed, the high priest of old, have been priests many in number, because that by death they are hindered from continuing. But he, because he abideth forever, hath his priesthood unchangeable. Wherefore also he is able to save to the uttermost them that draw nigh unto God through him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Notice, this is the one who died, and yet it says he ever liveth to make intercession for them. So God, in this Levitical priesthood, has to show it that Christ shall ever live to make intercession for us. He has to show it by Aaron being stripped of his garments while he's still alive and placed upon Eleazar, his son, who is in the strength of his youth, the vigor of his youth. And here is this high priest that is alive, and yet this one who had been alive for 123 years, then God says, now, Aaron, you come to me. But when Aaron dies, there is no loss to the people. What shall we do? Our high priest is gone. Because a high priest is there, alive, clothed with all the garments that sanctify him, and give him the capacity to minister in the priest's stead, in the stead of his father, Aaron. And this is something of what God is showing us. Now, here is something I think of that is so sad that must have gone through the heart of Moses. Turn to Leviticus 8. Leviticus 8. And the Lord, verse 1, Leviticus 8, 1, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take Aaron and his sons with him, and the garments, and the anointing oil, and the bullock of the sin offering, and so forth and so on. And it says, verse 6, it says, and Moses brought Aaron and his sons, and washed them with water. And he put upon him, Aaron, the coat, and girded him with the girdle, and clothed him with the robe, and put the ephod upon him, and he girded him with the skillfully woven band of the ephod, and bound it unto him therewith, and he placed the breastplate upon him, and in the breastplate he put the Urim and the Thummim, and he set the mitre upon his head, and upon the mitre in front did he set the golden plate, the holy crown, as the Lord commanded Moses. Now, here is Moses, 40 years before, putting these garments on his brother Aaron. And now, in Numbers chapter 20, here is Moses, 40 years later, and the same God who said, put the garments on thy brother Aaron, now says to him, take the garments off thy brother Aaron. Think of the sadness. Think of the joy when Moses would put these garments upon him in the first place and would have a mediator for the nation of Israel to go into the very presence of God. And upon Aaron he put the garments of glory and beauty. And here is Aaron, the representative of Israel as their priest who could go into God's presence for them. Here he stands. And now here is this old man that has served faithfully most of his life, and he is now to die. And the garment that Moses himself with his own hands put on, he now takes off and places upon Eleazar. Eleazar, who was a young man when he placed them upon him. So here now is the sadness that would fill Moses' heart. You see, some of the things that God tells us to do, they are ever so difficult to do. I remember that when my grandmother died, her son said to me, "Do you want to take the funeral?" And I said, "No, I do not know if I could hold up taking the funeral of my grandmother." Now, here is Moses, and God doesn't say to him, "Now, do you think that you're able to carry this out?" God says to Moses, "Your brother Aaron is going to die. And before he dies, I want you to strip him of all his garments and put them upon Eleazar, his son." And so there are some sad things that God calls upon us to do. But we have to play the man, and we have to accept the burdens of sorrow that God places upon us, and we have to carry out the will of God. And this is what Moses did. And so think, in Moses' lifetime, it was a comfort in this respect. He sees his brother Aaron die, but at the same time, he sees his nephew Eleazar taking his brother's place, and God, at this moment, when his brother Aaron dies, an old man, there is a younger man who is high priest of Israel. And so there is sadness and there is joy when God shows us these things. Now, I told you that this type contains both of these truths. The truths concerning Aaron himself. And let me tell you this. The reason that on the Day of Atonement there were ever so many sacrifices to be offered, the reason was this. Aaron, being a sinner, had to offer the sacrifices first for himself. This had to be done. The type was spoiled because of this, because the Lord Jesus had no sin. There was nothing Jesus offered for himself. Only himself he offered for us who were sinners. Now, the type also is spoiled here because of Aaron and the reason of his death. Why did Aaron die? Aaron died because of his sins. And why did Christ die? He died because of our sins. But even though God will teach us as best he can, he must say that Aaron has to die because of his rebellion. "You rebelled against me." And so Aaron is dying, not for the sins of others, but he is dying for his own sins. But he is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is a picture also of the Aaronic priesthood, why it was imperfect. It says, now, these men have to have many priests. They're made many priests in number. Why? It said, because they die, and someone has to replace them in their death. And so, first of all, that is what is illustrated here. Why didn't Aaron stay priest forever? Because he's a man under the curse, and it's appointed unto men once to die. And Aaron also is included. And so Aaron dies, and Eleazar, his son, takes over. That is teaching the first truth of Hebrews chapter 7. But God is also teaching about Christ's priesthood being unchangeable, not only with Melchizedek, but also with Eleazar taking over, being alive, when Aaron, his father, the first high priest, died. And so God is conveying these two truths. Now, I wish I could tell you this, that Eliezer's death is not listed in the scriptures. But alas, in the book of Joshua, it tells of the death of Eliezer. But still, the type is intact. And we have one who dies and another who is alive, who is to represent the children of Israel. And this is what God is depicting here. He depicts the unchangeable priesthood of Christ in both the Aaronic and the Melchizedek priesthood. He shows the faults of it, but he shows that Christ also ministered as both an Aaronic high priest and also a Melchizedek high priest. I won't go into any more of that for now. But look at this, at verse 29. It says in chapter 20 of Numbers, "And when all the congregation saw that Aaron was dead, they wept for Aaron 30 days, even all the house of Israel." Now, I wonder if people are going to weep for me 30 days when I die. Well, however symbolic this might have been, however genuine their weeping for Aaron had been, they weep for him 30 days. And this is what I want to know. Notice, please, in verse 28 once more. And Moses stripped Aaron of his garments and put them upon Eleazar his son. And Aaron died there on the top of the mount. And Moses and Eleazar came down from the mount. What did it say about the burial of Aaron? Nothing. That's why I read to you elsewhere. I read to you in chapter 33. Now, let me show you also in Deuteronomy chapter 10. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 10. This is why you must read all of the information that is given. Look at verse 6. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 6. It says, and the children of Israel journeyed from Beeroth, son of Yachan, to Moserah. There Aaron died, and there he was buried. And Eleazar his son ministered in the priest's office in his stead. Now notice this. At first he ministered for his father, but now he ministers in the stead of his father. And it says, it's speaking, when you have a mountainous range, it might mention a particular peak, and so I take it to be that way, this particular peak, this range of mountains. So here it says that Aaron died and was buried. So, inasmuch as only Aaron and Eleazar and Moses went up to that mount, and Moses and Eleazar came down, and he was buried in the mountain in which he died, who do you think buried Aaron? His brother and his son. We're not told that. It may have been that some went up into the mount. We are told nothing about that. But remember this, because this is so important. When Moses and Eleazar come down, it speaks of a high priest that did die. But then it speaks of a high priest who died, but who is coming back again in the person of Eleazar. God had to use two. He had to let Aaron die, and he had to let Eleazar come down alive. But it shows that the same one who died, because Aaron is a type of Christ, as Eleazar is a type of Christ, both of them a type of the same man, not two different men. So here is Christ who died. This is shown. But here is Christ also who is alive. And he who went up into the mount and died, thank God, he's coming back again. And these are some of the particulars concerning the unique and the spiritually significant death of Aaron, the brother of Miriam and the brother of Moses. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we are so glad that we have a God who knows all about what is going to happen when his son comes into the world. You are able to show us how much it meant to you, our Father. You are able to show how much it means to us and how inviolable is this intercessory work of Christ. We are so glad that he did die. He bore our sins in his own body upon the tree. But we are glad that now he is alive forevermore. And you tell us in thy word that he now is existing in the power of an endless life. We rejoice in this. We are glad that you've shown it to us. His death and his resurrection, and he's never to die again. He suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, but he shall never suffer for sins again, and he shall never die again. And behold, he is alive forevermore. Bless these truths to our hearts, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.